introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
All right, all right. Another day, another position. We are back with the One A Day Draft Series. My name is Jason Brown. I will be your host today. You can find me on Twitter at Brown Jason. And I'm joined by the man who works on the skill positions for us here come draft time. The people who operate with some space around them. The athletes, if you will. Wide receiver one. Clamps. We're going to be here today talking about Miles is maybe the position he should have been playing all along.
No, I can promise you that's not true.
So what's going on, Miles? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited to talk cornerbacks.
Yeah, you know, we're excited because you know we can't talk about corners, especially you know the timing is perfect. You know, this week Adam Thielen signs the big deal, and you know. You might very well be the last person to put clamps on Adam Thielen.
Like, I know, man. He owes me some money.
I mean, you know, you went the wrong way. You were out there trying to catch the ball. You should have been stopping people from catching the ball. Or was it the tackling you weren't about? Because, you know, sometimes you wide receivers don't really like getting in there and mixing it up.
You might be right, man. I was definitely like an ankle biter.
Yeah, you know, just got to dive, grab, you know. You're not paying cornerbacks to tackle, though.
Right. If he's on the ground, that's all that matters.
That's true. Well, you know, I do
remember talking mess to Thielen, though, when I played him in high school.
Well, you know, he done turned the tables on you now.
Yeah, I think he made a name. I think he's doing all right.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, you get down to training camp again. We're going to have to see if we can get you out there to line up for one snap against him or something. See if we can get some new footage.
I'm not pulling a Reef.
R.I.P. a Reef. Well, yeah, with the quarterbacks, this is another one of those positions that, I don't know, it feels like a lot of people feel like they know what they are looking at when they're talking cornerbacks. I don't know if that many people actually do. I feel like we can just see them, and especially, you know, if a guy plays a lot of man, we feel like you can see a mirror, flip his hips, things like that. But I know from your perspective and having conversations with you offline, there's really a lot more than goes into the position than just being like a great athlete or being able to play man coverage. So when you are, you know, sitting down to watch tape and really digging into the cornerback position, what are the things you're looking at? What are the traits that are most important? And what are the things you see in college that are most important in terms of evaluating how a guy is going to transition to the next level?
Yeah, you know, being able to turn and flip your hips is an important thing at any level to play the position, because you have to work and play backwards. That's probably the toughest part about the position, is everybody else is moving forwards and you're moving backwards, and you're moving backwards against athletes that are as athletic or more athletic than you might be. So you have to do things that help give you an advantage. You know, that's why. You know, being able to get up in a guy's face and press him, having the right technique to do that is really important for some guys, because they might not have the long speed or the ability, you know, down the field to turn their hips and stay with a guy. So their ability to kind of bully some receivers kind of helps them and gives them an advantage. So there's a whole bunch of different things that a cornerback can do, but the things that I really look for, I look for footwork. You know, guys that They have quick feet, flexible hips, the ability to turn and run on a dime, and then stop on a dime and change direction for, you know, obviously both corner and wide receivers, extremely important. Cause you watch some of these receivers and how quickly they get off of a spot and make movements. And you need a cornerback to be faster than that, because they're working, like I said, they're working backwards. So they need to have a better ability to do that on that end of the field. So I really look for the hips, the feet, and then I just look for like guys that can read and react. What are their instincts? What is when I watch film, does a guy look like he has a good understanding of what he expects from a wide receiver or from an offense in general to do? And based off what he's being asked to do on the defensive side of the ball, what the scheme is, what the coverages and stuff like that. Does he know what everybody else around him is doing? I know a lot of people forget, they might not think about it, but a lot of these positions, you need to know what what the guys next to you and maybe even like in the trenches are doing and what their responsibilities are, because that affects what you do and how you play and the coverages you're in. So I flip it. It's so easy to kind of compare wide receivers and cornerbacks because they go hand in hand in what you need to know. So like as a cornerback, what you want to know, you need to know the entire defense. You need to know what everybody's responsibility is, because when you know that, you know why someone is moving to a certain spot, you know what your responsibility is compared to somebody else's. And that's an extremely important thing to understand and know, because then it makes you play faster. Because if you know exactly what someone else is doing, what their responsibility is, and then you know what yours is, you can play a little bit faster because you understand why things are being asked of you and what they're being asked of you. So that's really what I look for. I look for guys that they have a good understanding of reading and reacting off of off of coverages, off of routes, lots of different things like that. So it's more of just like an instinctual thing for me. I watch guys tape and I see their abilities in that sense. So like a guy last year, Mike Hughes, I was really big on Mike Hughes last year because you could see that ability in him. He read and react extremely well. He was a good tackler. He had really good hip flexibility. Wasn't the fastest guy, but he's explosive, and his ability to go get the ball and attack the ball in the air. Those things are extremely important for me when I'm watching cornerbacks. So I use Mike Hughes as an example because I just thought his film from Central Florida last year was really good.
And shout out to Miles. You definitely, well, we'll say you were right on that one, just based on how quickly he progressed and how quickly, you know, just based on how cornerbacks in the past have taken some time to really get acclimated and get up to speed and be able to do work in Zim's scheme. And Mike Hughes seemed like, you know, he got there a lot faster than, you know, Trey Wayne, Xavier Rhodes, Mackenzie Alexander, and many others that went before him. So,
yeah, and he was asked to play inside and outside.
Yeah, and he was asked to do a lot more. So props to you on picking that one up. But there's just one thing, and I don't want us to go too far off a tangent before we get to these names from the draft. But you mentioned something, because hips and feet, that's something that gets thrown around a lot, especially, you know, I think we were talking before we started recording about like a Trey Waynes, where his hip flexibility or lack thereof has been something that people have talked about with Trey Waynes since he came into the league. And, you know, over time, he's been able to develop into an above average corner, and a great number two corner. When you're saying, you know, hips or stiff hips or, you know, quick feet, not quick feet, can you maybe break down what that means for us in maybe even simpler terms, like you're explaining it to like a child or something?
I think if we'll start with feet. So just quick feet. So, you know, you see a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of skill position players, they work the ladders, they work things that just help speed up their footwork, things that they can, you know, work on their drive, work on things that straight line, you know, back and forth and being able to stop on a dime and cut and make movements like that. That's kind of where I look at footwork, watching guys that can, you know, if you're sitting across from a receiver at the line of scrimmage and, you're asked, you need your feet to be quick because you need to be able to make a movement inside or outside, depending on which way the receiver is going to move. And then that coincides with how your hips are, because if you don't have flexible hips, it'll take a little bit longer for you to be able to turn and make those movements. When you're turning and opening up your hips to move, you know, again, inside or outside, depending on the movement of the receiver. So, to kind of break down in a quick stance, it's just one of those things, like a lot for hips in terms of hip flexibility, it's more of a natural thing that guys have. It's not something that it might not destroy your career or something like that. Like you said, Trey Waynes, it is kind of a liability in a sense for him, but he's been able to overcome it because of how they ask him to play and the scheme he's in, and they kind of allow him to play to his skill set. So, like, I know when he was first drafted, people talked about, well, can he play in the nickel? And there's no way he could play in the nickel. That's just not his skill set. He doesn't have the hips to be able to move laterally that way and open up inside and outside and run in man coverage in that sense. Whether, you know, but when he plays on the outside, he can back off at times and play off coverage, or he can move up and jam. But his ability and his strength to jam, and I talked about this earlier, it slows down receivers enough to allow him to recover. And then obviously he's got like track, he's got track speed. So not many people can run past him. So that really helps him. His ability to jam and slow down a receiver's momentum, it allows him to recover the lack of hip flexibility that he does have with that elite speed that he has.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. And, you know, I'm just trying to help you out here because, you know, you got some, you know, new additions on the way.
Yeah.
And you think that you understand a lot of things in life until you have to explain those things that you think you understand to a child. And then you'll really understand if you do understand what you think you understand when you have to explain it in words that, you know, a child would actually understand. So thank you for going and making that simple so that all of us can really keep up with what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, I hope I simplified it as best I could. But
yeah, man, you did your thing. Well, let's do it here. Let's get into it. Day one of this draft.
Yeah.
It seemed like early in the process, there were a lot of corners that were getting a lot of hype. But as the process is dragged along, doesn't really seem to be that much talk of corners anymore. So who are the ones you like? And did some guys fall off?
Yeah, so this is a weird – I find this to be a weird cornerback class just because of the guys that they have. They're kind of all over the board. Like you said, there really doesn't seem to be that consensus player. I know for the longest time, and I still believe he probably should be considered cornerback one. Greedy Williams from LSU, he's that kind of guy that – he's kind of got that Marcus Peters to his game. He's a ball hawk. He goes after he makes plays. He's not afraid to tell you he makes plays. I love that kind of mentality in a cornerback. But he's not as big of a fan of run support, which I know we've talked about this. Like, yes, would you like your cornerbacks to be physical, and would you like your cornerbacks to be willing to tackle? Yes. All I really need from my cornerback is him to get a guy on the ground. I don't care how he does it. Just do it. Just the willingness to do it is more of a thing than being good at it, especially on the outside. You know, you see guys like an Antoine Winfield, he might be one of the best tackling cornerbacks and that's maybe ever played the game. I know that's saying a lot, but I mean, that's how good he was at it, but it's more of a willingness thing too. And I'm not a big, it doesn't bother me as much that Greedy's not as big into it because he's good in coverage and that's what's most important. But for me, he'd probably be my cornerback one in this class. I have him as a day one prospect. And then I have Byron Murphy from Washington. He's kind of similar, got that similar mold to a Mike Hughes. I don't think he's quite to that level. I don't think he quite has that ball hawking ability or that that explosion upfield and that read and react that Hughes had. But I think they're similar style players. They can play inside and out. And they're pretty good at reading, reacting. So that's kind of what I like about Byron Murphy, and I expect him to be kind of a later round one player. And then lastly, Justin Lane is a guy I don't think enough people are talking about, Michigan State cornerback. Big, lengthy guy, really athletic. He tested extremely well. He didn't run the fastest. I would have liked him to run a little bit faster, but the nice part for him is He was explosive, had a really good vert, really good in the broad jump, and then his arms are really long, 96th percentile. His wingspan's like an 80 and an eighth inches long. That's crazy. So you know that his ability that's kind of fits what his ability is that bump and run type of cornerback, and that's the kind of guy certain teams need, like a Mike Zimmer defense would definitely be looking for a guy like Justin Lane to fit that kind of role.
There you go. Because I was about to say, as you were describing this man here, I'm like,
he's kind of got that Xavier. He's not as athletic. He's not
great quite athleticism.
He doesn't have that like downfield explosion. That Xavier.
So this is going to be the guy that no one's really ever heard of that Mike Zimmer goes and pounds the table for and drafts in the first round, and Vikings Twitter burns itself to the ground. Is that what you're telling me?
Something like that.
Okay.
I'd probably more compare him to like an Isaiah Oliver from last year, from Colorado. He's lengthy. Okay. Has like I said, long arms, good in press coverage. He's that kind of guy that played. He's an outside corner, but I do like him as a day one corner. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in that 28 to 32 range.
Ooh. Okay. I like that. So is that it for day one, or you got any more?
No, that's it for day one. There are some guys I do like that we'll talk about in day two. I do think, kind of like wide receiver, I believe that this is an extremely day two heavy class for cornerbacks.
All right. So give it to me. Let's go.
Yeah, day two for me, Clemson's cornerback, Trayvon Mullins, really good player. He did his thing at Clemson especially the last 2 years. Definitely their best, one of their better defensive players, especially when you talk about how good they are up front and the prospects they have there. But guy I really like. I think he can come in and be a contributor from day one. I like DeAndre Baker from Georgia. For the longest time, I still believe he's going to be a really good player. He didn't test as well as you'd have liked, and I don't think he ran as well as you'd have liked. But you get him in the right scheme, and I think he can really excel. Julian Love from Notre Dame is another guy that I think he's kind of got that similar to Byron Murphy, a read and react type of corner. Not the biggest guy, but he's got really fluid hips. And can make plays on the ball. Rocky Sin, he probably had the best Senior Bowl week out of the cornerback group. He's from Temple. He's a transfer. I don't know how I'm blanking on where he transferred from.
I thought you were going to say he has the best name when you took that pause right there, because Rocky Sin is a pretty awesome name.
It definitely is, and he's a good player. He kind of came out of nowhere. He I for some reason cannot find where he it was. Not Old Dominion, is one of those schools though. Excuse me. Anyways, though, really good.
He's from Southwest DeKalb.
There it is.
All right. Well, yeah. That's high school. And he went to Presbyterian College.
Thank you. I knew there it was. Presbyterian. Then he ended up transferring to Temple, where he had a really good year. Kind of put his name on the map. And then, like I said, at the Senior Bowl, he really opened some eyes, and he was definitely the best cornerback at the Senior Bowl. And he showed that he can be a press corner. He can be a guy that can shadow wide receivers. I think he might take a little bit. I think he could be a contributor day one, but I also – he's definitely not – he might not have cornerback one upside, but I think he has kind of that in-between, kind of like a Trey Waynes in the sense of, you know, I don't know if he'll be a number one corner for a team, but he could be right on that verge, that above-average style of play. But he's a really good player, fluid hips, physical. You like to see that from a guy like him. So I liked him a lot, and he tested pretty well too at the combine.
Nice, nice. Who else you got? Rocky Sin.
Yeah.
And is there anyone whose name can rival Rocky Sin in this class?
As at corner, Sean Bunting.
No, Rock's definitely. Rock still got this locked up.
Amani or you worry?
Okay, maybe.
I can't say it, so I'm terrible and I'm booking. he's on my list because he's a really good player.
Okay.
But David Long from Michigan is another one. He's a good player too. I think he's come along over the last couple of seasons, and I think he's really been able to show himself out as a day two player. Tested extremely well. Really liked what he was able to do at the combine, and I think that looking at, you know, you look at some of the spider. I like to look at spider charts too, just to kind of confirm, you know, what am I seeing on tape from a guy. And then does that match how they test? And a guy like David Long, you know, he's not the biggest. He's a little shade under 5'11". But on tape, you know, he's a fluid athlete with quick twitch ability to get in and out of breaks. And then you look at his spider chart and his three cones at 97th percentile. That shows up on tape. So that's something that you're like, okay, that matches. And that's something that I really, really like and like to see from him. And that's the kind of player he is. So there's some of that. He's got that ability to be able to shadow and potentially even kick inside, because he's got that fluidity and that ability to change direction. So I like David Long quite a bit. Amani Oruwariye from Penn State. Again, I probably butchered that, but he's another one of those guys that I think is kind of being slept on. But he's got that ability. He's a big, lengthy corner, outside corner. Tested pretty decent at the combine. You know, you look at his spider chart, there nothing pops out too much besides the height, weight, bench. But when you pop on his film, there, you know, he's a fluid athlete that I liked as kind of that Seattle Seahawks style of defense. You know, maybe more of that cover three style. But you know, but that does have that ability to bump and run as well. And then lastly, Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky. He'd probably be the last guy that I have as a day two pick for me right now. Really liked his film. Really liked his ability. He's another one of those big lengthy corners that you're gonna hate when I say this, but this is the kind of guy that Zim would love to have on his team. Okay.
I'm not gonna hate it. More corners, no, the better.
I think it's more about where he gets taken. But like, true, if he's taken in like the third round, I don't think anybody have any issue with it. But he's, you know, 6'2", long arms, big physical guy. Ran a 4.52 jump, but he jumped extremely well. 38-inch vertical, broad jump, 129 inches. That was a 90 percentile. But then you look at like a three cone where he only had a. He didn't even run his three cone under 7 seconds. So that kind of is worrisome a little bit. Some of that Trey Waynes to him, where, you know, you worry a little bit about that hip fluidity, but I don't think it's worrisome enough like a Trey Waynes, where because of his ability to in press coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was taken, you know, in that late day two range.
Okay. All right. Well, Miles, bring us home day three. Who are the late round guys that you'd like to see a team maybe take a shot on that have either something you saw on tape or, you know, athleticism that you found to be particularly intriguing?
Yeah, Isaiah Johnson from Houston. His measurables are extremely nice. Really like what he's, you know, he's over 6'2", 80-inch wingspan, tested in the as a 4.4. You really like to see that he jumped 133 inches, 96 percentile, had a decent three cone. So a guy like that on day three with those kind of measurables is it wouldn't surprise me if he snuck into day two because of measurables like that and some of the film that you see. But there, I do think he has some work to do, some of his technique. But I think if you get him into the right system with the right coach, he might be able to blossom into something. So I liked him. I like him as an early day three guy. Joe Juan Williams from Vanderbilt. I think he's more of a late guy. I can hear you typing right now. Like, wait, hold up.
Hey, you hear me looking this dude up right now? That's another one of the made up names you got for me.
Yeah, that's probably one of those favorite names. But he's huge. He's 6'3" and 5'8", long arms. Didn't run well, so I think that's part of the problem. So, he's more of a day three guy because he fits that Richard Sherman mold a little bit, where he's really long and lengthy, but he doesn't have that long speed. So you kind of worry about that, the system you get him into. He might be pigeonholed into that, you know, that zone coverage, you know, the Tampa twos or the, you know, the cover three high, you know, high. So his ability to not have to worry about that long speed as much. So playing off coverage. So that's kind of the worry with him. But
I don't normally want to do this, but I will say, I'm a little upset about the spelling of this name, because I feel like, you know, we got to stay in one language paradigm when we're going for these names. we can't start with English and then end up in Spanish. That's just making my life way more difficult than it needs to be.
It's tough, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm looking for Joe John, and it's Joe Juan.
Yeah, Joe Juan Williams, yeah.
Joe Juan, okay, well, there we go. I have found him now, and I will put it in the show notes so those of you listening can look him up as well and don't make the same mistake I do. Apologize for cutting you off there, but I was getting a little frustrated trying to find Joe Juan initially. You know, continue.
It's all good. I think here's another guy that wouldn't surprise me if he snuck his way into like an early day three. Sean Bunting from Central Michigan. Wow. Sean Bunting from Central Michigan. He's a guy that I don't think is being talked about all that much, but he's definitely a guy that has a lot of ability and a lot of upside. But you look at his athletic testing and his chart there, and you really would not be surprised if he found his way to the ability to sneak up a little bit, because he's a really good player. He's got fluid hips, and he's the kind of guy. I mean, he's six. He's just over six foot. Big hands. Ran a 4.42. He jumped a 41.5-inch vertical, 80th percentile broad jump. So like you see, like I hate using Mike Zimmer as an example, but Mike Zimmer loves to find him athletes that he can mold. And Sean Bunting's that kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that he can just get his hands on and be like, all right, I see the athleticism, I see the traits. Let's get you into it, because you know he struggles a little bit. He lunges and he oversets himself in press coverage at times, so that can hurt him a little bit. And he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's over 6 foot, but he could probably stand to gain like 5 to 10 pounds roughly. Stuff like that. And like I said, the read and react, there's some of that. You're missing some of that quick twitch off the ball or off the react. So the ability to put your foot in the ground and drive. Would like to see a little bit more work off that. But otherwise, he's one of those guys that has those athletic traits that really could stand out and really could see him get an opportunity somewhere.
Love it, love it, love it. Anybody else? We going to UDFAs this time, or
no, we're not going that deep. I'm not going that deep on this class, but Alabama. I mean, they always have people, right? Savion Smith from Alabama didn't test all that great, so I think that's going to hurt him. But I mean, he played for Nick Saban. Nick Saban's they call him like the DB guru of college football. He's one of those guys that does a really good job of turning out good athletes and good defensive backs. So he's a guy that he plays technically sound. So you like to see that. And he's a guy that he understands the game. And you can see that on film, obviously. There are some spots where you can tell that he gets beat because of the lack of athleticism. He didn't jump very well. His 3-cone 20-yard shuttle and 60-yard shuttle were not good at all. So like some of those small things, they show up, and you see the lack of athleticism on tape. And I'm sure that'll be why he goes on day three. Could be a later round guy, but if you get him, he could be one of those depth pieces that plays special teams. So I'd keep an eye on him.
Okay, these some good names you got here. I only thought you made up like two or three before I hit the internet. So,
yeah, like I said, it's a pretty good class. It's kind of like the receivers with a. I don't think there isn't a, like, you know, the people are off the charts about a DK Metcalf where there's that like true athletic freak. There really isn't that, but like there's a lot of guys on day two that you could get some depth and guys that have some potential to be starters.
Awesome. Well, that's, depth and starters after the first day is really all you're looking for. And so there it is. That's it. That's all. Some great names for you to look up. They will all be in the show notes. There will be links to playerprofiler.com so you can check out all of these stats that Miles has been talking about. But that's it. We're done with the cornerbacks. We're almost done with all the position groups. We haven't mentioned it yet, but you probably heard JR before the episode. Go cop that draft guide. It is amazing. JR did a lot of great work. Amazing. Yeah, go on and get that. Link will be in the show notes. But pick it up. Support JR. Support a great cause. He does great work. And, yeah, that's it. That's all. We will be back with another one of these tomorrow. Yeah, talk to you soon.